I guess it was really only one that was any better, brothers and sisters, at having a perspective on life than the Apostle Paul, and that could only be Jesus Christ himself. But Paul was so very aware that we have this treasure, as he says, in earthen vessels. Fragile clay pots is how Paul would have us understand our existence, our bodies. But what a treasure we have. For he says in the reading where I would like to focus our thoughts this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, "For we preach not ourselves," in verse 5, "but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And that's why we're here today. We're here again to consider the face of Jesus Christ. We're here to stand before him, to come into his presence, to appreciate the reality of the Lord Jesus in our lives, to be with him, to live with him, to hear him, to understand him. That's what Paul is talking about. While we have this wonderful treasure, we're just clay pots. But there's a reason, says Paul, that we are just clay pots. It's that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. We're nothing, in a sense, but we've been given a very precious gift. But one thing we must all appreciate is that we're all dying. And we see the evidence consistently as we come to remember a loved one who has fallen asleep in Christ. And we will all have our turn, except Christ return first. Our day will come when our loved ones will gather to remember us for our clay pots will eventually fail. But we're not in despair. Paul says that we're persecuted but not forsaken, smitten down yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. How do we manifest Jesus in our bodies? Our bodies are nothing to boast about. Our bodies get old and start to fail. And this all begins at a very young age. And that's because we're being told something. We're being brought to recognize on a daily basis, brothers and sisters, that God is our Redeemer. He is our salvation. There is no other hope. There is no other Redeemer. And so we must manifest Jesus in our bodies. I'd like to just go to Hebrews to develop that just a little bit. In Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 4, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he, Jesus, cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, or a body didst thou prepare for me. And Jesus is declaring by this prophetic statement that God prepared him a body. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I am come. In the roll of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. What is the body that God prepared? What would be understood by a body in New Testament times? It was clear, my brothers and sisters, and we'll see the connection as we look over that chapter in Corinthians. We'll see that a body refers to a slave. That's what a slave was in New Testament times. A slave was a body. If you bought a slave, you bought a body. You didn't buy a person. You bought a body. And this is what God prepared for Jesus. A slave. And so Jesus became a bondservant. One who would do God's will. And that's the role of a servant from beginning to end. That he is there to do the will of his master. The will of his Lord. And so he comes in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, sacrifice and offering and whole burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, lo, I am come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. And in every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Job completed, finished, done. He no longer had to stand and minister. What about us? I think we're in the doxology in this letter to the Hebrews in the final chapter. And this is the desire for every true servant of God. Hebrews 13 verse 20, now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of the eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus, make us perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's us, to do his will, to be a bondslave, to be a servant, to glorify in our servant, in our servanthood, in our, as servants, that we should demonstrate the Lord Jesus Christ by giving up our bodies. Says Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to demonstrate Jesus Christ in our bodies. And even though our bodies are failing and decaying and getting old, we are demonstrating a very important principle in our mortal flesh, as Paul would have it. There was something very interesting about what Jesus said about his body. Now, we'd just like to repeat what Jesus said as he went through the, as we look through the Gospels, just purely for emphasis. It's not something that you don't know, but I would just like to just pop it in just so that we're aware of it. When Jesus was going up toward Jerusalem, and he knew where he was going and what would be the end of the story in Jerusalem. In Matthew 16, he says this in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples. This was important teaching. He had to show it to his disciples. How that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And he had to teach this to his disciples. There was something that was very important for them to understand. Chapter 17 and verse 23. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be delivered up into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised up. And 20 and verse 19. Verse 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him unto the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him, and the third day he shall be raised up. And Mark 9, verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered up into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he shall rise again. Jesus doesn't mention his death without mentioning the resurrection. Every time. It's as clear as that to Jesus, that this body is going to be killed, it's going to die, but it's going to be raised. And that's what he wanted his disciples to understand. That this body, though it's decaying and it's dying, it's going to be raised. And that's how we demonstrate in the body the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't demonstrate eternal life in a decaying body. But we can demonstrate the hope of eternal life. And so that's what Paul would have us to understand. We're always delivered to death. But remember, when we're delivered to death, the resurrection awaits. So he continues. But having the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believed and therefore did I speak. We also believe and therefore also we speak. We declare. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also with Jesus and shall present us with you. What a wonderful hope. And that's us, brothers and sisters. clay pots, earthenware jars, fragile, but with a wonderful treasure that God has given to us. Isn't this just a wonderful thing? And isn't this the wonder of the scriptures of truth which we have here with us today to encourage every one of us? And surely these words are an encouragement to Brother John today. And to all of us who have lost our loved ones, our mothers, our fathers, and many other loved ones who are now in the grave awaiting that glorious resurrection morn. Let us go to Psalm 49. There's a marvelous reality in the Psalms. Psalm 49 in verse 13. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Like sheep they are laid in a grave, death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their habitation for it. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased, for when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see the light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Psalm 44. Verse 17, all this has come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. That thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Rise up for our help and redeem us for thy loving kindness' sake. It was strange that the Apostle Paul took up this peculiar verse in this psalm in the Epistle to the Romans. This 22nd verse of Psalm 44 about the killed all the day long, it finds mention in Romans chapter 8. For Paul obviously was contemplating this psalm and everything that the psalm implied as he penned these words. Romans chapter 8 and verse 36. Even as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That's our mortal condition. That's what our clay pots are all about. But there's something different. And now Paul exalts, as you can see, the change in his tone, as he says in verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing is going to take us away from that hope. We might be like those sheep that were lined up for the sacrifices. All of those sheep that faced certain death, just as we all do. But there's something else for the sons and the daughters of God. There is a different perspective. Paul takes it up in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, as he says in the first verse, "For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved," he's speaking of death, "we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For verily, in this we groan, longing to be clothed upon with our habitation which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For indeed we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life." And here we are, brothers and sisters. All of us mortal, but being swallowed up of life. It's just overtaking us. It's overcoming us now as we contemplate the wonder of God's mercy. There's a wonderful future for every one of us. Let us never, ever lose that vision. Paul exults in those wonderful words in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The words that you know so well, when he says in verse 54, "For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy victory? O grave, where is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not vain in the Lord," it has a point to it. And even though it's difficult at times, there's a reason for our continued labor in the Lord. Our continued working for the people of God. Our continuing to stretch ourselves out for God's people and the people whom God would call. We need to be there. We need to be shoulder to shoulder with our Lord Jesus Christ and with the Apostle Paul, dying daily, demonstrating in our servants, demonstrating that we are a body, given that we are a bondslave, that we have been given over completely for the work of our Lord and for our Master, who has called us and He's paid the price. There's a verse in Isaiah that we apply to the kingdom, but it has an application right now. It's that very well-known verse in the 40th chapter. It's a verse or two, for those of us who at times are feeling a little faint, who are feeling a little weary, who are in need of strength. And let us be assured, brothers and sisters, every one of us, that he giveth power to the faint. And that's not just in the future age. That's now. And to him that hath no might, he increaseth strength. Our bodily strength is failing. But there is a sense in which the inward man becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And as Paul says it, though the outward man perish, the inward man grows. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And that's us in our spiritual lives when we gain so much strength that even though our physical steps falter, brothers and sisters, our spiritual walk becomes more sure and steadfast every day as we contemplate that, yes, this body is decaying, and this body will die. But let's remember how Jesus taught his disciples that we could all understand that we shall be raised. It's not for nothing that the bread should symbolize the body. And Jesus told us about the body. His body, that it was a body that was given. Give us day by day our daily bread, said Jesus. We need to be reminded of this body that was given daily. But Jesus also said concerning the bread, his body which we partake of, when we partake of him as the bondslave, the servant of God, the one who delighted to do his will. He that eateth this bread, said Jesus, shall live forever.